Today on The Balanced Word from Pastor Dave Rolf.
The two, Christianity and politics, cannot mix. It's as simple as that. If you mix muddy water with clean water, you get muddy water. It's the way it works, as you've probably heard me say before. Mixing politics and Christianity is like mixing manure with ice cream. It doesn't hurt the manure, but it destroys the ice cream. And in this day, the last days, the ice cream is destroyed by the manure because they thought it's a little manure-flavored ice cream won't kill anybody. It kills ice cream.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel presents The Balanced Word. It's great to have you along today as we continue an interesting and challenging series through Revelation. Remember that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ we're talking about, and all of the events we read here in Revelation lead and point to one thing, the return of Christ to reign on earth. Before that happens, mankind will be duped by a sophisticated liar named the Antichrist, who will become the leader of a new world religion. Today we'll see that mixing religion and politics will be devastating to civilization. Here's Pastor Dave Rolf.
The beast is completely disloyal. He's loyal only to himself. He will turn on the other leaders. He will turn on God's people. He will turn on this prostituted religious system. It's just who he is. So we have these historical leaders. They hate the woman as well. We also have 10 horns that he says are 10 kings. Beginning with verse 12 and on through, he says, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom yet. These are guys who want to be rulers. They are the toadies to the beast. They don't have their kingdom, but they want one. And they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. He goes, yeah, it's me and you. You're my guys. You're with me. These are of one mind. They only want one thing and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will end up making war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. And then he said, you saw the waters where the harlot sits? Their people, multitudes, nations, and tongues, and the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. So these 10 leaders, they're really just like every other bureaucrat that ever lived, but they're getting together, linking up with the beast, knowing that he's a monster, but feeling at the same time that they have something to gain. Ultimately, these other toadies are no better than the religious system that sells out to the beast. They just want power, and they just want, ultimately, it's good for business, as we will see in the next chapter. And they all use the harlot and then discard the harlot. The other people that we see in this chapter are the saints and the martyrs. The harlot is a part of their martyrdom. She sells them out. She is drunk on their blood. The one thing about these people that's such a threat to the system, it's like, hey, everybody's playing together. It's the world is one. Except for these people who are the only ones, the people who have, at their own peril, received Jesus Christ, and they're like, I'm not impressed by the beast. And it says, everybody was impressed by him, except these saints and these martyrs. Ultimately, they are said to be victorious. They're said to be chosen. They're said to be faithful, but they are also said to die. So those are the characters, and that's essentially what happens is this pseudo-religious entity that uses the language and symbolism and wealth of Christianity combined with the wealth and the symbolism of the other religions as well. They get together, the beast takes it as far as he can and then spoils it, ruins it, and he will be destroyed almost immediately after she is destroyed because he is as much of a harlot as she is. Whenever religion uses politics, and politics uses religion, both lose. But religion usually loses sooner. It destroys religion, and then it ends up destroying politics too. That is the history of the world. If you study history, you will see this over and over again. A power-hungry leader wanting to use religion as their excuse to do what they want to do to gain power, and then a religious system that so desperately wants to fit in and belong in society that they sell out their principles in order to support an evil leader. Hey, you use Hitler as the ultimate, you know, bad guy as a political leader. Hitler could have never done what he did without the cooperation of professing Christians who supported him, thinking it was kind of cool that Hitler likes us pastors, that Hitler wants to support our way of life, and he is killing only the people who are the ones that kill Christ anyway. So we should get behind this guy. And besides that, look, he's made roads all over Germany. He invented the Volkswagen. We can get behind this guy. You know, religion will always lose in that kind of a deal. It always does. Ultimately, politics will too, though. The backbone of politics, you see, is deal-making and compromising. The whole way that politics works is selling out, making deals, making trades, trying to find a way to create the best deal that we can, where no one totally gets what they want, but we all actually get what we actually want. We were pretending we wanted more just so that we would have room to motivate. If the backbone of politics is compromise and deal making, the backbone of Christianity is uncompromising truth. It is saying, we believe in absolute truth. We believe what God says. We believe that there is one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry if that offends people. I'm sorry if it's not considered, you know, politically expedient. I'm sorry if there are some people who are going to want to kill us because that's what we believe. Christianity is founded on absolute historical truth. And that makes it incompatible with a compromise. That's why Christianity ultimately, in its truest form, cannot coexist. Oh, we don't have to go out there and destroy other faiths, but sorry, we can't join you. We believe that there is only one way to salvation, and it's not a little bit of everything. We aren't people who are just like, well, you know, I'm not religious, I'm just spiritual, and everybody who's spiritual, it's great. We believe in absolute freedom for people to believe what they want, but if we are Christians, we believe the truth, and that truth cannot be negotiated, it can't be watered down, and it can't be compromised, or it begins to lose its character as epistemology, as what we know as truth. The two, Christianity and politics, cannot mix. It's as simple as that. If you mix muddy water with clean water, you get muddy water. It's the way it works, as you've probably heard me say before. Mixing politics and Christianity is like mixing manure with ice cream. It doesn't hurt the manure, but it destroys the ice cream. And in this day, the last days, the ice cream is destroyed by the manure because they thought it's a little manure flavored ice cream won't kill anybody. It kills ice cream. Now, I know that there are some people who are very astute politically. I know from some of you being, you know, friends with me on Facebook that you have strong political opinions and agendas. And some of you are just, you know, we've got to mobilize God's people in the political arena to bring about. I don't want to offend you, but I just want to tell you this. If that is your focus as a Christian, and if you choose to ride the beast, do it at your own peril. The beast will ultimately use you and then devour you. That's the way it works. Human government has always been this way, and it will be until the end. You can only trust government to be what it is, a beast. The best we can hope for, by the way, is some level of freedom. Because as supposedly Thomas Jefferson said, although I'm not sure he actually said it, but people who respected and followed Jefferson said this, that government is best which governs least. That was certainly the sentiment of Thomas Jefferson. Let's not be naive enough to think that America is the country where, well, it was like God, you know, just picked this country. If God has blessed America, and he has, it is because as a nation in our history, we were astute to the idea that let's just not get all government-y. Let's just hold off on bigger government controlling everything. The one thing that can isolate and insulate religious faith from government is if government stays out of your business. And so certainly to advocate for freedom, advocate for smaller government and everything, that certainly will work in our favor. I don't see our country going much in that direction. The complications of the laws and of trying to fix everything with another law, the idea that we've lost all of our privacy in the name of preventing, you know, terrorists, that the fact is when you pull your phone out, somebody can be watching you and listening to you. We're losing our freedom. Our country is not being what it used to be, but I'm not on a political rant in order to stop that. What I'm appealing to you is that learn from the lessons of history and learn from the lessons of Scripture. God did not want us to be in a coercive, manipulative relationship with human government at all. If you know your Bible history, you realize that when the children of Israel were being led by God, Moses as his representative, it was a great system. Moses would go into a tent and have a conversation with God. It says that he and God would talk face to face like a man talks to his friend. And then he would say, here's what God's showing me. Here's what I see God wanting us to do. That's perfect. Can you imagine? But they said, we want a king because everybody else has a king. It was the children of Israel who insisted on trying to gain some political leverage and power because having God just wasn't enough for them. And God warned them, if you pick a king, that king is going to take your money. He's going to take your crops. He's going to take your products. He's going to take your sons and kill them in battle. He's going to take your daughters to be his wives. He's going to damage you in every way possible. But they said, no, it's time for us to be like everyone else. We want political power. Give us a king. And that was absolutely devastating to God's people. First guy they picked, horrible choice. God gave them a good king next. After Saul was David, and still things got worse for the people for the most part. Then there was Solomon, then the kingdom split. They went every which direction. It took three generations for their government to absolutely collapse. And that was man's attempt to somehow combine spirituality and the law with politics and people and manipulations. And it failed miserably as God said that it would. And we are foolish if we somehow think we can get around that, that we can make this happen otherwise. Just a few thoughts. For those of you who are still holding out hope that some human political leader, any human political leader, will be the answer to our prayers, you will ride that beast at your own peril. God has let you know, this isn't the way I do things. Recognize that completely. And let me just read something to you. Jesus had something to say about this over in John chapter 18 as he faced Pilate. It says, Pilate entered the praetorium again. This is John 18, beginning with verse 33. Called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my disciples would battle you in the courts. My disciples would take you on. What part of that do we not understand? My kingdom is not of this world. As soon as we start thinking that his kingdom is of this world, then we are riding a beast that will one day devour us. Our faith will have to be compromised in order for us to get along in a world that does not tolerate. They'll tolerate everything except uncompromising truth and intolerance. Now, I'm sure there are some of you this bothers you. And, you know, you have a lot of questions. Our small groups have some discussion questions that I think will bring about some interesting discussions. Let me make it clear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you shouldn't participate in the political system. I'm not saying that you shouldn't run for office or campaign for somebody or support a particular candidate or party or agenda or whatever. I'm just saying keep your relationship with God separate from that. You're a citizen, you can do what citizens do, but don't bring God into it as being, here's the reason why we need to do this. You cannot argue the truth of God with people who really don't respect that truth. It's foolish. And you also can't afford to have your hope pinned on a person or a structure or a party or a system that in some way is going to usher in a better world. It's never happened. It won't happen. It always, always leads to destruction. But some of you are like going, wow, this is pretty negative and hopeless. You started out talking about Thanksgiving. We thought, oh, good, this is some leftovers from a great week, but thanks for the discouragement, Dave. Actually, I am very upbeat about the future. I am not at all pessimistic about what is ultimately going to happen. But I'll tell you why. Back in Revelation 17 and verse 14, it says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. The reason why I am not bummed about the fact that our world is caving in, that I see people, you know, religious people using political people using religious people, a structure that is watered down and compromised and devastating and doomed for failure. The reason why I don't get totally bummed out about that is because I already have a king, and he's the King of Kings. But he not only is my king, he's my president. He's my senator, he's my congressman, he's my governor, my mayor, my city council member. He is my savior, he is my Lord, he is my friend. And he wants to be yours too. He wants to be all you need. To align yourself with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the best thing you can possibly do. Moving to the future, it may kill you, but it will give you life everlasting, and it will protect you from being manipulated and used by ambitious politicians, by liars who just want to motivate you for their good and for you to get pulled off of your agenda to end up finding some compromised sellout of what you truly believe and of what you truly hold to be dear. He's my king, and he wants to be your king too. And I'll say this as simply as I can. If you are still following after and hoping for a human being to somehow come along and fix things and be your deliverer and be your savior and be your champion, you're waiting for something that will never happen. And the more you hope for that, the more it's going to hurt when the beast turns around and bites you in the tail. And he will. He always will. But there's a way out, to just bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If Jesus is your leader, then you're good. Again, it doesn't mean you can't be involved in politics. Just don't be deluded into thinking that somehow God's on your side. Doesn't mean you can't be involved, as we'll see next week in chapter 18. Doesn't mean you can't be involved in religion, you know, and at the same time be involved with business. Because it's just about who is on the throne. Who is your ultimate hope? Who is your boss? Who is it that you will not compromise for because of who he is? If you've never accepted Jesus, I pray that you'll do it. You can do it today, by the way. There's no, you know, I'm not going to manipulate you into it. I'm not going to tell you some sad deathbed stories or threaten all kinds of bad things that are going to happen if you don't do it. I'm not going to coerce you or manipulate you or ask you to, you know, come on now. Jesus died on a cross for you. You can certainly walk an aisle for him. No, I'm just telling you. There's one true king who isn't selfish. There's one true political leader who is not motivated by what he wants for himself. He proved it by dying for you. He died so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be clean, so that the truth could set you free. Everybody else wants to use you. He wants to set you free. And if you don't know him, and if you've never bowed to him, I pray that you would today. There'll be people down here in the front who would love to just pray with you. They're not going to try to get your email address and start sending you a bunch of, you know, selling you t-shirts or something. No, it's just, we want you to know that God loves you and that there's hope and that the hope isn't in any phony political system or any compromised religious system. It's simply in a Savior who doesn't want anything from you, but what he wants is for you. He wants you to have a better life. He wants you to have an eternal life. If you've never done that, do it today. Or ride the beast on out of here and see where it's going to get you. But it doesn't have to be that way, and I want you to remember that. If you decide, yeah, I'm not ready yet, okay, I hope he gives you time. These people in the future, when the whole system is collapsing around them, they still had a chance. Most of them didn't take that chance. Some did. The ones who did died. We have a chance right now. So simple. To just say okay to him, to just bow our heads to him and be forgiven and to be clean. And once you have Jesus as your king, there's no reason for you to be manipulated by any other wannabe king, by any other structure, by any other big religious structure or Christian spiritual structure or political structure. You're free, because you can just say, hey, I got a king. I've told people before that whenever people come up to me to try to push their religion on me, usually what I say to them when they come up and, hey, do you want peace and happiness? I say, oh, no, I'm already a member of a cult. They don't know what to say. But it's true, man. I'm a member of this little sliver of people who have just said, it's just Jesus. That's it. I don't need your stuff. I don't need your approval. I don't need your agenda. I have the King of Kings. If you don't have him, I pray that you would find him today.
Today on The Balanced Word, we listened into a portion of Pastor Dave Rolfe's study in Revelation. You can hear it again when you visit us online at thebalancedword.com. And there we house our recent radio programs. Again, thebalancedword.com. Pastor Dave has taught through the entire Bible, and we thought it would be helpful to you to offer that Through the Bible set on a USB. We'd be happy to send this to you for a donation of $30 or more to The Balanced Word. It's your generosity that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Balanced Word to the radio every day. So thank you for standing with us, with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Through the Bible USB. That's 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. Here at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, we offer two Sunday morning services. They begin at 8 and 10. Pastor Dave always enjoys meeting and greeting his radio listeners, so be sure to say hi after service. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And those outside the area can live stream there too. That's ccpacifichills.org. Now to lead us in prayer, here once again is Pastor Dave.
Lord, thank you for your love for us, your sacrificial love that sets you apart from every other leader or ambitious wannabe leader. I thank you that you left us with a system of faith that isn't of this world, that isn't about our success here and now, or the amount of assets we can acquire here and now. But you give us the freedom to live our lives but to know that where we stand with you operates independently, freely, eternally. Because when we have you as our King, we have all that we truly need. Help us to keep a light touch on everything other than who you are and what you've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've seen the failure of human government today on The Balanced Word, and next time, Dave Rolfe will focus on the failure of business as we continue to make sense of Revelation. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And